Good morning. Welcome. If you are newish here, I'm Des. I'm the lead pastor here. We've been in a series called Pray for about 3 months now, and I finish it out today. We don't finish out praying today. We don't finish out learning and preaching and sharing and engaging in prayer. But as far as the series goes, today is the last one. And I have struggled. How do I end this series? Which is why it's gone on so long. How do we end this series? And so today is really, really important, but it is of no serious value unless you've heard the previous messages. So you can go online, you can hear any of those messages. I'd start at the beginning of the year where I gave a first one on pray is the word for the year. And then moving forward, go ahead, listen to those, it makes sense. So the whole point for the series was this. It came quite clear to my attention for me personally, and then it became obvious for us as a church, and then it became obvious for the church in the West in general, that prayer was the weakness in our following Jesus' lives. It was a weakness in the church. And so this series was set up to help us learn how to pray with passion, with confidence, and with authority. That was the purpose. It started with me. I wanted to move from being a man who prays to being a man of prayer. I wanted our church to move from being a church that prays to being a church of prayer. And we pray with passion, confidence, and authority. And we use the word pray at our We Pray Nights to break down that acronym of pause, rejoice, ask, yield, that posture of just pause and be still and know that He is God. Who we pray to is what matters more than what we pray. Who we're praying to, pause. And then we have to rejoice, having a posture of thanksgiving. Be joyful always, the scripture says. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And that rejoicing, the asking is good. We're allowed to ask. And then the yielding is ultimately that posture of surrender. That posture of surrender and yielding is about also obedience, that we pray and obey. We don't just pray and sit and do nothing. It's active. That's where we're going to go. But let me just, in wrapping this series up, give you something to help you to experiment with in your own personal life that I believe may help some of you unlock prayer in your own life. Some of you have got maybe a bit static. We were told that this is how we pray. We sit down and you fold your hands and you bow your head and you close your eyes and you pray. You can pray that way and there's nothing wrong with that and it's very effective. And for the majority of time, that's how we pray. We were taught that posture for one simple reason. Remove distractions. Stop your hands from doing something. Stop from looking around at stuff. Close your eyes. Bow your heads in a posture of like humility. It's not really in the Bible, but it's good. You can pray continually, which means pray when you're driving. This is not a good posture when you're driving. I get it. Let me just talk about some of the biblical postures of prayer. The physical body helps sometimes. I'm gonna pick up one of them today, you see, in closing out the series. Then we clearly see that kneeling in prayer is biblical. For this reason, I kneel before the Father in whom everything was made. And in His family we pray. Kneeling, there's something about kneeling. Now, as we get, some of us, we physically can't kneel anymore. I understand. Okay, there's a posture. But for those who can, I want to encourage you in your own time to do that. In the privacy of your own world, there's something about kneeling that does something. There is a humility to kneeling. There's a surrender. There's a powerlessness to kneeling. It's really, really effective in humility. So maybe kneeling's there. One of the powerful postures in the Bible of praying, though, is one that we don't do corporately and practically, and maybe in your own life you've never done. I want to encourage you to do it. And that is to fall prostrate before the Lord in prayer. Prostrate is to fall prostrate. To lie face down before the Lord. You are completely surrendered. You are literally, and there is a symbolism of dying to self. There's a symbolism of dying to self and falling prostrate before the Lord face down. And maybe there's a desperate situation in your life and you just go, Lord, I can't do it. I'm done. And to fall down on your face in prayer and worship to do that. That's important. Now, in addition to that, you have the other postures that are lifting your head up. Eyes open to the heavens. Jesus did it, the feeding of the 5,000 and lifting up his face and his gaze, eyes open to the heavens. Outstretched arms are also in prayer in the Bible and raised arms in prayer. There is something so dynamic about that. When you pray that one, I encourage you, maybe the get outside factor, but look up into the sky. The things of this earth are not your gaze. It's above and beyond and into the vastness. The heavens in the Bible talks about actually the atmosphere above it, the stars and the sky. That's given this term for the heavens. There's something incredible about that. That's a posture that some of you need to embrace in prayer more. And then there's the whole one about standing. We see standing in prayer significant. Go and stand on a mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by, was Elijah's call. Jesus even says, when you stand praying, go forgive your brother first. So he's making an assumption when you stand praying. There's lots of scriptures about standing, and here's the why, and this is where I'll go today. As we close out the series, I want us to know that praying is not just reacting. Often in prayer, it's like, this isn't going right. I respond, I react. I go on the defensive. And sometimes we need to. I understand that. Nothing wrong in that. And we defend and we react and we respond to what's happening around us. I understand that. In a spiritual warfare sense, things come at us and we are to, Ephesians 6, stand strong. But there is something about standing in prayer that's there because our feet are on the rock. He's my firm foundation. Something very, you can feel it. There's something really substantial about standing in prayer. But what I want to do is, with the standing in prayer, it's not just defending. It's not just responding. The purpose for standing in prayer was about being ready, and it was the offensive. Often in prayer, we want to stand our ground, but the scriptures are clear on taking ground. And often we stop asking for prayer because we take a, oh, maybe I can't ask that, but we stop asking for things beyond ourselves and future thinking. And I think that's crept in. We just respond, Lord, remove that leader. Lord, fix that problem. Lord, do this. Now, what about something we get to pray, not just against things, but for something and taking ground? And we think long prayers, things that are long into the future, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, beyond our own lives, something forward. So the standing I want to lean into today is about being ready to take the next step. In your prayer life, are you moving forward in your prayer life? We've given you lots of tools to help you with that, but it's something you get to stand and you get to lift your voice and pray forward. So let me just, I think one of the things on this whole series, if I could say anything that's cliche for you to help, it'd be this. When it comes to praying in your life, remember this. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it going. Why do I say it like that? Keep it simple. You don't impress God and get bigger answers because you've got bigger words. Or you're more intelligent. And you do all, you don't. Jesus actually said, don't do that. Keep it simple. You can keep it simple, you can keep it short, but keep it simple. Keep it real. Be honest. How many times have we gone before the Lord and really kind of faked it a bit? I'm asking this, but I don't really believe. Keep it real. Be honest. This is hurting right now. I'm confused about this. Help me with this. Be honest. If you're confused, bring the confusion before God. Keep it simple. Keep it real. But at all to keep it going. Keep it going. Set aside your time and your place and reminders. Keep it going because the enemy does not want you praying. He does not want you praying. Keep it going. So, standing, taking ground, front foot praying. I'm going to give some scriptures right now. I'm going to read them. I'm going to declare them. I'm going to preach them. It's a bit like that sword we talked about a few weeks ago in our praying. I'm going to unpack and give some clear example biblically of what it feels like and looks like and sounds like to pray this way. So, first one I was reminded of was something that I first prayed 22 years ago. Why do you know it was 22 years ago? I know I was 30, and I know what was happening in my world and in my ministry at that time. I was just embarking on something that for a decade impacted our city in England quite significantly. And a little book came out in the year 2000 related to this particular prayer in the Bible. And it got all kinds of different reviews. Forget the actual book right now. The scripture is the scripture. And the scripture's been known as the prayer of Jabez. Raise your hands if you know what I'm talking about. Raise your hands if you read the book back in the day. A few of you. Some of you are like, no idea what you're talking about. Whatever your opinion of the book is, don't care. But the Bible says this. Okay? This is what the Bible says. And I remember this in that season of my life being a prayer. I remember I had it typed out and put on the inside cover of my Bible, and it was significant at that time. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. It's Old Testament. And this whole taking ground thing, people, oh, taking ground prayer was Old Testament. Well, I've got three more scriptures, in fact, four today, that are all New Testament, so get over it. All right? After, oh, that was taking ground, that was Old Testament. No, it's all Bible. Taking ground, front foot, standing in prayer. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. That's the first thing we need to note. Jabez cried out. The Lord always hears the cries of his people. There is something in your prayer. Get your heart out. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, and hears his prayer. And God wants us to know his prayer, because this is all we know about Jabez, this one prayer, period. He says this, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Some translations put it this way. Jabez cries out, oh God, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my influence. Bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Sounds very self-serving. It's in the Bible. There's a why, we'll get to it. But when's the last time in prayer with all heart and passion that you were literally had the audacity to go before him and God, oh, that you would bless me indeed. In this area, and enlarge my territory. I was praying that over an event I was overseeing called Encounter that brought 42 local churches together in my city in England and brought together young people in that time, in that post-Christian culture, to come together from different churches and praise God. And we did it in the biggest arena in our city for 10 years. But it started in year one with this prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. If you pray that, it's because you need his hand with you. Lord, let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. A better translation is this, and keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. All too often, our lives and our decisions that have been, if we're honest, have been not Christ-centered, cause pain to other people. There's an impact, isn't there? Sin not only pollutes it, and we have a punishment of it, it just has this impact that we go, oh. So Lord, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. Your reason is not self-centered, it's others-centered. And it says this, and God granted his request. And we don't know how. Nothing else recorded in the Bible. But he wants us to know this is what he prayed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And oh, that your hand would be with me. And oh, that you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. And the Lord granted him his request. What would it look like if every single one of us in this room had a posture of prayer that was standing, and I'm going to preach more about it to help you out with this, and the Lord grants that request? So let me lean into some New Testament context. Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, yeah, I've heard it. No, hang on a minute. When we see evil, we see things that we don't like that are not good. We see it. We just tried rebuking that bad thing. He says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Standing. We actually, the antidote to evil is God's goodness. It's not calling it evil. That leader, get rid of him. What if we were to have influence of good? What's the point in telling the darkness you are dark? Hey, darkness, you're dark. Nothing changes. You change darkness by turning the light on. That, have you prayed that way? I'll get into it practically in a moment. Colossians 1, the reference is on screen only because I want this to go into you. If you were to pray anything over the next month, pray this scripture, it will blow your mind and have an impact. Colossians 1, 10 through 12. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. That's one sentence. What would it look like if I was to pray this scripture? Lord, I am praying that I may live a life worthy of the Lord, worthy of you. And then listen. I may please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, not just because I want to know more, because I'm being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. When you pray, do you pray in such a way that it's his power and his glory and his strength and his might, or based upon your limitations? That is a scary prayer. Just what if he gave you a little snippet of his power, let alone his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, that's the authority prayer, qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Then let's get to the words of Jesus. This is very much a standing posture, the words of Jesus. Sermon on the Mount, listen to this. You've heard it a million times before, but I want us to live in it. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. He's speaking to the people who are following him and he says, you are the light of the world. Time out. Thought Jesus was the light of the world. He is. But the light of the world calls you the light of the world. He needs you, wants you to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Why? Because he's here to conquer darkness. I'll say it again. There is no such thing as darkness. Darkness is a word we use for the absence of light. Okay? That's what we've done with our language. Where there is no light, we call it darkness. Darkness is a word we use for the absence of light. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. The reason you're the light of the world is not just for your benefit. It's for everybody else. There are people walking in darkness and struggling right now in multiple ways. Maybe that's you. And what they need is somebody else close to them who is walking with light, come alongside them and help them see. That's why Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Then he goes on to say this, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When you pray forward and for something, that's what you're doing. Okay, Lord, where do I need to go and take this light? Let your light shine before men as a result, because they're walking in darkness and somebody comes and turns the light on. And they go, wow, everything just changed. Now, in this season, some of us went through the Draw the Circle 40-day prayer challenge. If you didn't, I want to encourage you to get the book, Draw the Circle, 40 days prayer challenge. Amazing, life-changing, love it. Mark Batterson is incredible, and that devotional came from his book, Circle Maker. And I've read through Circle Maker a few times now, and I have it on audiobook, and I listen to it in the car a lot. And just this week, I was reminded of one of the things he said. He quotes, first of all, a business book by Jim Collins called Good to Great. And Jim Collins came up with businesses and said, you've got to go from good to great. And one of the things you can do is have these BHAGs, which stands for big, hairy, audacious goals. Like, think massive. And what Mark Batterson says in his book, he said in his own personal life, he didn't just have big, hairy, audacious goals. He felt compelled by God to go, what if your life had big, hairy, audacious prayers? Behaps. Have you got some behaps in your life? Have you got any big, hairy, audacious prayers? Things that are definitely beyond yourself. Things that are only God. Things that are mind-blowing, not just to you, but for others around you. Things that would pierce the darkness. Things that will bring about incredible transformation in your own world, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your city, in your church, in the name. Some big, hairy, audacious goals. This is standing prayer. Because if prayer is just about make my life better, help me just get through. There's nothing wrong with that. God is faithful. He's a good father. But if that's all it is, we're missing it. Standing prayer is these behaps. So I'm going to lay a foundation a little bit here, very practically, and we're going to do this together and ask you some questions. And it's going to help frame your posture. It's going to help what I talked about last week a little bit. Your mind seeing and hearing God. Remember that reticular activating system, what we focus on and do. What if I was prayer driven and I was to do this? Here's questions moving forward to help you get your behaps. And I want you this week to go ahead and have the audacity to start praying for these things. It gets very personal, so I'll start with this. I want you to think in the context of your life. So if you're married, think of your marriage. Think of your family and your relationships. Think of the season of life you're in, be it school, work, retirement. Think of the season of your daily routine that you're in. And then maybe think of your church and your city. If you think in these sections of your life, these questions can apply to all of them or any of them. So it all fits. Question one is this. What is the most loving thing I can ask the Lord for right now? So in your marriage, what is the most loving thing I can ask the Lord for right now? Your relationships, in your world, in your church. What is the most loving thing? Oh, that sounds like, no. All too often, we want the most condemning thing, the most correcting thing, the most strike them down God thing, the most help, which is fine, but what's the most loving thing? Prayer is dialogue, not monologue. An impression in your heart and your soul. What's the most loving thing? That's others first, isn't it? And some of us don't pray that way because it may cost us something. Second question. What could I pray for that would be overwhelmingly good? Maybe you cross your mind in your prayer time. What could I pray for that will be overwhelmingly good for my church? Overwhelmingly good in my home? Overwhelmingly good in my school and my work? What could I pray for that will be overwhelmingly good? Think audaciously with that. Start praying that way. Standing posture, start leaning towards that. Question number three, what could greatly advance God's kingdom in my situation? God's kingdom, I talked about this, for the kingdom of heaven is of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What could greatly advance righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in my marriage, in my family, in my friendships, in my school? What could greatly advance his kingdom? You can be the answer to that prayer often. What would greatly advance his kingdom? Josh said it in the announcements. I'm going to tell you. When it comes to this summer, let's just put kids ministry on the map straight away. Not only do we have our kids camp summer blast, it's just mornings. You can sleep in the afternoon and recover. You don't even know the divine appointment the Lord might have for you as you serve on those mornings. But you put yourself in an environment that you get to let your light shine before men. Our college ministry is awesome and has exploded this year, and many of them serve in our kids ministry during the services. A lot of our college kids have gone home for the summer, so our children's ministry right now is way more short-handed than it would normally be, just for the summer. A couple of weeks here or there. We can pray, how can I greatly advance the kingdom? But if it's a standing prayer, it means you're ready to be the answer. It means you're ready to make the move. Lord, just send other people to do all this stuff. Please. That's okay. But if it's standing prayer, what would it look like to greatly advance the kingdom? The Lord may well look at your own stuff and give it away. Look at your own heart of where your treasure is. That's where your heart really is. Look at your generosity. Look at your giving. Look at you. This is how I get to greatly advance the kingdom. Don't pray it if you're not prepared to be part of answering it. But it's amazing. Can you imagine if you started to pray that way? That's audacious. What's the most loving thing? How can I do something overwhelmingly good, advancing his kingdom? And then fourthly would be this. What could I pray for that would be really glorifying to God? If your posture is the glory of God, what could I pray for? Jesus said, actually, let your light shine before men, and as a result, they'll praise your Father in heaven. So actually, he's saying, he's given an answer to that, but what could I pray for that will be really glorifying to God? That's amazing. Rachel's story last week, glorifying to God. In your own life, what could I pray for that would be really glorifying to God? Have you found yourself praying in such a way, it's not about my comfort, but about your glory? What can I pray for in my marriage, in my family, in my career path, in my current season of life, in my church, in my city? What can I pray for that will be really glorifying to God? This is standing up prayer. Often, I don't know what to pray for. What? There's so much that we can be praying for, but the enemy doesn't want us to pray, because just this in and of itself is life-changing. What could it be? What could it be? Big, hairy, audacious prayers. And maybe on your things that you're circling in prayer, have some of that in there. Have the very real and honest and practical things and needs. Absolutely. But to really pray those through. So we're going to spend 30 seconds right now. Right now, 30 seconds, it'll be silent in the room, which for some of you will be very awkward because you're not used to silence. But 30 seconds where I want you to literally sense God put an impression in your heart and your mind. Hey, here's one thing that is audacious, one thing that is very loving or kingdom advancing, one thing that is overwhelmingly good, one thing that will be glorifying to God in, and it could be in your marriage, home, family, career, season of life, this church, one thing. Just, and it may seem audacious. He needs to say, and they're like, okay, I want you to start praying for that. Go home, write it down, and keep praying through that. I'm going to allow 30 seconds for that. And if you already know what it is, in these 30 seconds, to start praying for that. Lord, I'm praying boldly for that. Okay? 30 seconds. Listen, pray, obey. Amen? Needed longer days. Good, you've got all your life. Keep going. Pray continually. Continually. So now this is something that, this is the one thing that I knew I needed to lean into as I wrap this series up, because if the church, and let's just bring it down, if we as a church could start to operate the way the early church did again. Acts 4, and I'll give context to this. The book of Acts, so Jesus has come, he's lived his life, he's gone to the cross, paid the penalty for our sin, he has risen again, he's returned to the Father, the Holy Spirit has come and has empowered his followers, and they are like, whoa! And then one particular day, Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, go and they're going to go to the temple to do what they do. And they see a guy outside the temple who's never walked, can never go into the temple. It's a whole long story. I can't get into it. But basically, they pray and this guy is healed. It's this miracle that everybody knew him before. Everybody can now see the impossible be the possible. They're amazed and the religious crowd are not happy, because they're doing things in this, in the name of Jesus, and they're like, what is going on here? These guys could take over, and we've got this organized and civilized temple thing going on. And so they're not happy. Peter and John eventually get called in. They get arrested. They get put in jail overnight. They're threatened, stop doing this, stop preaching this, stop doing this. But they knew the crowd had seen this miraculous healing and they were like, how do we navigate this one? Because this guy, the guy who'd been healed was there. It's like, can't deny it, look. Never done this before. Amazing. It's all there, but in the context of the leaders at that time threaten and say, stop it, or there'll be more trouble. There's still a real threat on earth to these people. A real threat, a vicious threat. It's very real. Miracles are happening, but it's there. And it says this, I'll do a couple of verses, then a couple will come on screen. Acts 4, kind of 23 says this. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And it wasn't good. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. The prayer is significant. I need to give context. This is what's gone on. These bad leaders, we need to get rid of them out of the leadership of this city. And they don't pray that. They don't pray anything towards the people who are oppressing them. They don't pray remove these people from government or whatever. They don't pray that. They go in and they start praying this way. Sovereign Lord, King Jesus. That's what they pray. They say, look, you are king, you're in control, you made it all, this is who you are. They even go and say to Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You did. Not these guys who are telling us to be quiet. Not any of those people. We don't have authority or under their authority. We're under your authority. This is who we live for. They get the context of who they're praying to. Now, they don't then go and say, so, remove them from office. Nope. They don't pray that. This is what they pray. Maybe on screen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. It isn't consider their threats and deal with them. Or raise up better leaders, more godly. Nope. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. We are praying and we're ready to go. We are praying, we're ready to be light in darkness. We are praying and it's scary and our lives are at risk and our families are at risk and our livelihoods at risk and all of that. But enable us to speak with great boldness. Why would you pray that? Because they're not feeling bold. We need that great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. See this? Four. We're in this oppressed situation. Things aren't good. It's not very easy for us right now. But stretch out your hand to heal and perform. Again, it's God's glory all the time. That's the breakthrough. That's what's needed most of all. In your lives, some of you, healing and miracles are needed. Just be real and honest with that. Your mind, your will, your emotions, there's hurt and there's difficulty. There's people all around you who've got some struggle and some pain and some difficulty. And these people are in a similar situation. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The very thing they prayed for, they then received. But their heart was kingdom. Spoke the word of God boldly. They pray with passion, confidence, and authority. It is not the words that we pray, it's who we pray to. It's who we're praying to. Fix your eyes on him, but you can ask standing prayer. This is what's needed. The church has become impotent because we're not praying with boldness like the early church did. Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform the miraculous. Why, that's all his glory. And bring about change. Audacious prayers is what's needed. The personal, the intimate, yes, continue. Kneeling, prostrate, arms outstretched, arms wide, heads up, yes, but standing prayer. I'm praying, Lord, and I'm ready to go. I'm prepared to pray and obey. And so today, I'm going to just quote a new song we've been doing. And it is such a standing pray song in lyrically. And I've been listening to this week more than I have in previous weeks. And it says, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. You don't know he's your firm foundation till you stand on him. Is his foundation. He seems to be standing. So what? Are you? Is he your firm foundation, the rock on which I stand? When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus because he's never let me down. He is faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. I love that. He won't. It's all shaken. Second verse says this, I've still got joy in chaos. Can we have some honesty here? Raise your hand if any area of your life's a bit chaotic right now. Raise them. Keep them raised. Bit chaotic. Raise your hand if life is like a glassy lake right now. Everything is calm. There is no problems. Everything is beautiful and peachy. Raise your hand if that is you right now. I want to come to your house. I've still got joy, though, in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength because I've built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He is faithful in every season. And sometimes that faithfulness comes through at the 11th hour. Sometimes I'm praying and I'm standing and... He's faithful in every season, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. So I've been praying, and at the 9 hours praying, Lord, how do I end this? What is the most loving, kingdom-advancing, good-bringing thing that I could do for your people here as we close out this series? What is it? What is it, Lord? I'm your servant. Enable me to speak with great boldness to your people today. What is it? And here's what it is. They prayed that he would stretch out his hand and perform healing and miracles and enable his people to speak with boldness. Some of you, just you're more timid than you are bold when it comes to his greatness. Your prayers are maybe a little bit safer. They're not hairy, audacious ones. Some of you, there is a need for healing. Mentally, emotionally, physically. Some of you are looking for a miraculous breakthrough. God's people did this a few years ago. So can we. So I'm going to invite you all to stand up. I'm going to invite all of our leaders, staff team, elders, prayer partners, any of those things to come down front and be available to pray with people. So come now. If you're a prayer partner or a leader, you know who you are. Come down front, be available. Staff member, come down front, be available. If you're a prayer partner in your ministry area, so if you're part of Unified and you're a prayer partner, you can come down and be a prayer partner for these people. You know the deal. Come and be available for people. And for everybody else in this space right now, we basically have two options here. If you are needing enable boldness, if you're needing healing or a miraculous in your life, this is what the scriptures say, standing prayer. I'm going to stand and put my faith in Jesus. He is my firm foundation. I want to come out, and wherever two or three on earth agree, in heaven, on earth, it will be happening. Come and let people pray an anointing of the Spirit of God on your life, of boldness, of healing, of miracle, of breakthrough. This is what it is. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Oh, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil and not cause pain. That's where you are right now. And so if that is you today, and that is what we need to do, this is always written in community, then I want you to come out of your row, come down to any of our prayer partners. If there's a line, there's a line, so what? Come out of your seat, come and receive prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name for these things. Come on out. It's miracle, it's breakthrough. Your life is not firm right now. You need to put your life in Jesus. Come on out. Say, today's a day I put my life and I stand on a firm foundation. He'll never let me down. If that is, come to a prayer partner right now. Come on down. And when you're there, the prayer partners will start praying. They're all the way over there, all the way over there. If you need to wait in line, just wait in line. Come down. If it's a healing, a miracle, a breakthrough. If it's a boldness, if it's a witness. If it's maybe your own prayer life has been ridiculously weak and inconsistent, like enough, God. I want to be a person of prayer, not just somebody who prays now and again. Give your life to him. Just the person next to you, excuse me, I need to go receive a miracle right now. Just come on down, go to the people, get in line, they'll start praying. Keep coming. Whew. This can keep going as we finish out, even in the last song. It can keep going through till dinner time if we need to. But in terms of the rest of us here, maybe there's somebody who's come down front and you know and you're following Jesus and your role is no. You're standing now. Oh, my response is go pray with that person. I want to stand with them as they're being prayed for. I want that. I want the big, hairy, audacious prayer for their life. I want to pray with them for that big, hairy, audacious prayer. Do life with them. So maybe some of you, that's your response right now. This is like, this is family, it's body, it's what we get to do. Yeah? I'm going to pray a covering prayer over this as this is taking place. And then our band will come and we'll lead and we'll sing that song, Firm Foundation, together. King Jesus. King Jesus, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Your power, your might, your majesty, your strength, your sacrifice, your grace, your mercy, your love. I give my life to you today and all in my life to you today. Lord, as we end this practical series on prayer, may we be a people now that we go and we are a people of prayer. We pray continually. Lord, we thank you that we get to stand now because Christ, you are our firm foundation, the rock on which we stand. When everything around us is shaken, we've never been more glad that we put our faith in Jesus. I've got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. We declare this into the heavenlies. We pause. We rejoice, we ask, and we yield in Jesus' name. Amen.